الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء، بعضهم أولياء بعض، ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم، إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. الله سبحانه وتعالى declares in the Holy Quran that, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians as protecting friends. They are but friends and protectors of each other. And he amongst you that turns to them for friendship and protection, then he is of them. Indeed, Allah does not guide people who are oppressors. Allah then continues saying, فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَىٰ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. Those who claim to be believers in whose hearts is a disease, you will certainly see how eagerly they run about amongst the disbelievers, saying to the Jews and Christians, we do fear lest a change of fortune bring us disaster, so protect us. فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَسَرُّوا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring victory to the believers and a decision that is beneficial to them according to His will. And then those Muslims who sought refuge among the kuffar will repent of the thoughts which they secretly harbored in their hearts. These ayat are the most fitting judgment of events as has unfolded in Afghanistan over the last 2 weeks, particularly the fiasco at Kabul airport. Amongst them, as Allah warns, are those Muslims in whose hearts is a disease, who eagerly run to the kuffar, seeking protection amongst them, saying that we fear that a change of fortune will bring us disaster. The change from a system governed by Tawhut, demons, a demonic system of oppression, to an Islamic system of justice. Allah further warns, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا بِطَانَةً مِّن دُونِكُمْ, that, O you who believe, do not take as confidants, friends from whom you seek support and protection, outside your ranks, outside the community of believers. لَا يَأْلُونَكُمْ خَبَالًا, they will not fail to corrupt and destroy you. وَدُّوا مَا عَنِتُّمْ, the kuffar only desire your ruin. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, rank hatred has already appeared from their mouths. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ, and what their hearts conceal is far worse. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, indeed we have made these signs clear to you if only you think, if only you have common sense. As regards the type of corruption and destruction that the kuffar are sure to wield upon the Muslim world no sooner do they find themselves in a position of advantage, the depredations, the holocaust of the Afghan peoples over the last 20 years is a classic case in point. And that is the subject of my bayan today. The indigenous Afghan people rapidly and peacefully took over all formerly occupied Afghanistan 2 weeks ago. And this while the collaborator government, the Munafiq government, who collaborated with the Kuffar in the subjugation of their own peoples, as well as the US-trained Afghan forces, offered no resistance. A peaceful, liberated Afghanistan hopefully faces a brighter future, inshallah, with the help of its Muslim neighbors, including Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Pakistan, as well as China and Russia and Iran and the rest of the civilized world. The utterly mendacious and racist United States and the United States-dominated Western mainstream media trumpet a dishonest, hysterical, in fact an Orwellian narrative to the contrary. They regard the collapse of the US-backed narco regime, which is what the previous government was, a drug-peddling regime, as a disaster. The indigenous Afghan peoples, the indigenous Afghan tribesmen, are portrayed as murderous and misogynist barbarians. The United States alliance withdrawal is portrayed in the media as a betrayal of Western values, and the 20-year-old war as a noble attempt to root out terrorism, to bring Western civilization and human rights and women's rights to a barbaric, backward people, to bring the privileges of democracy and prosperity and neoliberal economics to an assertedly primitive country. Now, this US fantasy, and in fact Australian fantasy, ignores the reality that while all terrorism is evil, state terrorism, US state terrorism, UK state terrorism, Australian state terrorism, apartheid Israeli state terrorism is vastly more deadly than non-state terrorism. And even this non-state terrorism, this takfiri non-state terrorism itself, like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, by their own admission, has been a major asset of US state terrorism for so many decades. It's no denying that Afghanistan is a poor and underdeveloped country. But this is hardly surprising after over 40 years of US-backed and US-imposed war. So the recent victory of the Afghan Mujahideen over the occupation forces have to be commended by sincere Muslims all over the world. Their extraordinary courage has to be acknowledged. Their fervent religious faith, their iman, has to be admired. And also the supporting overwhelming majority of the impoverished Afghan people and their resilience have to be praised. How many people can endure an unrelenting war over 20 years, being brutalized, being raped and pillaged and murdered, and yet continue in their resistance to ultimately attain victory over the most powerful military force recorded history has seen? When Mahatma Gandhi was once asked what he thought of Western civilization, the famous reply was, "I think it's a great idea. It's a nice idea. The reality, though, is very different." And it's that reality that we will be exploring this week and next week. Invading other countries is not civilization. It's not being civil. It's simply racist barbarism. Afghans have invaded zero countries since 1760, not one. In contrast, over the last 200 years, the United States alliance invaders of Afghanistan have invaded hundreds upon hundreds of countries. The British, for example, over the last 200 years have invaded how many countries? 193. Brutally invaded, brutally suppressed, raped, pillaged, murdered into submission. Australia, fair dinkum Australia, over the last 200 years has invaded how many countries? 85 countries. 85 countries. Who are the civilized? Who are the barbarians? France has invaded 82 countries. The United States has invaded 72 countries, 52 of which after World War II. World War II did not end in 1945. World War II continued for the non-European peoples for the next 80 years, which brings us till today's date. Germany invaded 39 countries. Canada, peaceful maple leaf Canada, 25 countries. Japan, 30. Russia, 25. Apartheid Israel, one of the youngest nations, so-called nations, apartheid colonial settler outpost, 12 nations in less than 60 years. China, 2. And the non-European, so-called developing, backward, brown peoples of the world, how many nations have they invaded, aside from these 6 or 7 cretins? Zero. Zero in the last 200 years. So who really is the barbarian? Who are the civilized people? If you take Afghanistan alone, the United States has killed 6.8 million Afghans over 20 years since 9/11. You know what 6.8 million people are? That's more than 3 times the entire population of WA. Slaughtered. Innocent men, women, and children. In the name of a bogus war. A lie. The horrendous realities of the United States alliance imposed Afghan genocide which has our own government and our own armed forces complicit in that genocide, they're actually ignored completely by the Western mainstream media. And it's all based on the false premise of defending Western civilization from a barbaric invasion, and that invasion was supposedly 9/11. There was a self-inflicted wound. And numerous scientists, engineers, architects, aviation specialists, military and intelligence experts concluded that the United States government was responsible for the 9/11 atrocity with Israeli and Saudi involvement. And there's more than adequate peer-reviewed literature, both published as well as online, available to assert that truth. But the US beholden Western mainstream media, including the Australian media, are united in blind belief in the official version of that mendacious cretin called George W. Bush, whose administration told 935 recorded lies about Iraq between 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq in March 2003, as assessed by the US Center for Public Integrity. So their very own institutions acknowledge the fact that this war was based on a lie. Not one lie, not two lies, but 935 recorded lies by their own Center for Public Integrity. And then we've got these noxious creatures in Canberra, like our very own Scott Morrison, repeating the very same. And foolish Australians, very often racist, supremacist Australians, trumpeting the very same. Lies upon lies upon lies, acknowledged by their own as lies. No wonder that the Anglo-American Empire will be known in history as the Empire of Hypocrisy. These are hypocrites. These are munafiqeen. They have no souls. They have no integrity, certainly. And the mendacious and Zionist beholden Americans, including the Australians, invaded Iraq in March 2003 on the basis, again, of another lie, the non-existent Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. At the behest of who? Again, Israel, with their finger in every rotten pot. And this acknowledged by their own political leaders, like Donald Trump, and like Hillary Clinton, and like so many others. Rats that spew more filth and vomit on more rats. The US invaded Afghanistan in October 2001 on the basis, false basis, that the Afghans were complicit in the September 11 attacks in the United States. Again, a lie. Not a single Afghan was involved in the hijacking of those aircraft. And the then Afghan government volunteered to have the supposed perpetrators, Osama bin Laden and his ilk, handed over to the International Criminal Court in The Hague to be tried fairly, because there was no basis to make that claim. And the Americans, having ignored that civilized proposal, embarked on a two-decade genocidal atrocity in which, how many? Think about this. I don't think people realize the implications of this number. 6.8 million Afghans were murdered. 6.8 million Afghans were murdered. Now, the figures that I'll be using here are freely available on all open platforms. These are official figures. What is first and foremost to be pointed out is that nobody was ever tried in a court of law by the United States for the crime of the century. Nobody was ever tried in a court of law outside the United States for this supposed crime of the century, 9/11. It was all hearsay. It was all lies upon lies upon lies. The United States, instead of doing the civilized thing, investigating into the matter, adhering to due process of law, launched a war on Muslims, a Muslim Holocaust, in which altogether, not just Afghanistan, which is 6.8 million, but 32 million Muslims were killed by violence and war-imposed deprivation over two decades in 20 wretchedly impoverished countries invaded by the United States alliance and the Australian government being complicit in it since 9/11. 32 million Muslims killed over the last 20 years. But never do we once hear the word genocide, Holocaust. Why? Because these are brown-skinned people. They are untermensch. They don't qualify as human in the eyes of our racist media and our racist politicians. Let's use a little comparison. Take occupied Palestine. Everyone knows about occupied Palestine. Let's compare to occupied Afghanistan over the last 20 years. Both have 50% children with 75% women and children collectively. So much for human rights and championing the rights of women. Occupied Palestine obviously is abusively ruled by apartheid Israel. However, if you compare the US alliance and its occupation over the last 20 years in Afghanistan, we find that it is 20 times worse in relation to the horrendous infant mortality of its occupied Afghan subjects as compared to occupied Palestine, which is itself tragic. Gaza, the open-air prison, and the atrocious conditions under which the Muslims languish there are well known. What is little known is that the same occupying force who lies about its being a champion of women's rights and human rights and wanting to be there to protect the children of Afghanistan, these liars are more than 60 times worse in their treatment of the people of Afghanistan, the women and the children, than the insidious Zionists themselves. Let's start off firstly with the issue of narcotics. And then we'll go through infant mortality. And then we'll go through civilian deaths as a consequence of violence and imposed deprivation. So let's look at the first. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime reported that 5.8 million people have died due to US restoration of the destroyed Afghan opium industry. When the Taliban first came to power 20 years ago, they destroyed the opium industry, remember? When the United States, including Australian Armed Forces, invaded, they revived that industry. And they revived it to the point where 20 years ago, it was almost completely destroyed, to 20 years later, representing more than 95% of the world opium industry. The greatest drug dealers and drug peddlers in human history have been, first, Queen Victoria, the British. Opium Incorporated is what they are called. And the second, after the fall of the English Empire, has become the United States. The most expansive purveyor of narcotics, the biggest drug dealer, is the United States government. The Taliban, 20 years ago, for obvious Islamic reasons, religious reasons, banned alcohol. They even banned smoking for public servants, and also they banned opium production. The United States then patronizes it, and the opium industry flourishes over the last 20 years. Why? Not just in Afghanistan and Southeast Asia and Latin America, but all over the world, we find that they are the preeminent drug pushers, because opium per gram is more valuable than gold. It is the liquid currency of the black market. And the benefits to the American administration include corruption and the funding of covert CIA operations, including black ops, the funding of mercenaries, the overthrow of democratically elected governments. All of these are funded by drug money. And where do they get that money from? Primarily now from Afghanistan, which they themselves have cultivated. Also, they use it for the criminal devastation of not just urban African-American communities, and history books are replete with records of how the CIA have caused societal implosion of African-American communities through peddling drugs within those communities, but every other target community across the world. Also fostering covert links and coordinating and collaborating with corrupt and criminal regimes, because those too are inextricably involved with the opiate industry. In fact, our very own Westpac, not just too long ago, for those of you who are keeping a finger on the media pulse, were investigated and in fact charged for money laundering, most of the money being drug trafficking. And also they use opiates to afflict and undermine target countries like China, like the English did in the opium wars in China, and like they're still doing, and in Russia, and in Iran, and in every other target country. So opium is actually the ace of spades when it comes to the empire of instability that the United States and its erstwhile British mentors established across the world. The Afghan war has cost $2 trillion. Those are the official figures in this war on terror. In other words, Muslims, because you're the terrorists. However, we find when we tot up the figures, it's altogether $6 trillion. $6 trillion wasted by the United States in prosecuting an illegal war that ultimately ends in failure. Now, these sums, if not for the benefit of humanity, could at least have been spent at home for the benefit of American citizens. But we find that the hatred of the American administration for others, especially Muslims, is far greater than their love for their own people. It's estimated, officially, that about 1.7 million Americans die each year. I'll say that again. 1.7 million Americans die each year from preventable causes, like not having access to basic medical services, malnutrition in the United States, poverty, pollution. These are just to name a few. So what we find is that since 9/11, this Zionist beholden United States administration has spent $6 trillion in killing over 30 million Muslims abroad rather than trying to keep 30 million of their own citizens alive. That is the degree of their hatred of the other and also of their contempt for the poor amongst their own. Let's go to another issue, the Geneva Convention, and we'll see how that stands, the supposed rules-based world order, which the United States claims to be a champion of, including our own hypocritical government. The protection of civilian persons in times of war, according to the Fourth Geneva Convention, demands unequivocally that the occupier must supply its conquered subjects with life-sustaining food and medical requisites. This is part of what the Geneva Convention imposes upon nations of the world, and to which the Americans are signatory, including Australian government. However, if we look at a comparison of mortality rates amongst children in the United States as compared to occupied lands like Afghanistan over the last 20 years, we'll see how true they are to their false claims. These are munafiqeen, these are hypocrites. We can't believe anything they say. So, infant mortality, in other words, under one infant deaths per 1,000 live births, is 6 in the United States. 6 for every 1,000. In United States-occupied Afghanistan and alliance-occupied Afghanistan, including the Australian government and its forces occupying Afghanistan, under their watch, the infant mortality rate in Afghanistan is more than 20 times higher. It's 111 for every 1,000 live births for children under the age of 1. We're not even counting the children over the age of 1. So much for the champion of human rights. Let's talk about the champion of women's rights. The maternal mortality rate, or ratio, in other words, maternal deaths per 100,000 live births, in the United States is 14. So for every 100,000 live births, 14 women in the United States pass away. Under U.S. alliance-occupied Afghanistan, what do you think the maternal mortality ratio is? 1,200. 1,200, almost 100 times more. So much for championing women's rights and taking care of the innocent civilians of Afghanistan. Now, what do these constitute based on the Geneva Conventions? These are war crimes. This constitutes a horrendous United States and Australia complicit war crime against occupied people in Afghanistan in gross violation of their own rules. Obviously, those are not our rules. We have our Sharia, we have our Quran, we have our Sunnah. We don't subscribe to the Geneva Conventions. Why? Because it's not worth the paper it's written on. So when it comes to the protection of civilian persons in times of war, again, they failed. Like they failed at everything in their wretched civilized, so-called civilizational project over the last 300 years. And let's stop at this one point, which I think is important. There's a few more to make, and that is the Nazi Holocaust. These idiots out there every year commemorate their supposed victory over the most evil empire of the last century, the Nazi Empire. Let's see. In 1944, the Nazi German dictator Adolf Hitler ordered reprisals involving 10 executed for every German soldier killed. So for every German soldier killed, Hitler demanded that 10 of the target nation in which those German soldiers perished have to be killed. 1 to 10 was the ratio. And as a consequence, the Germans were declared as the greatest evil the world has ever seen. If you look at the Afghan genocide under American and also Australian occupation, it has involved 3.6 million under 5 infant deaths alone. 3.6 million under 5 infant deaths alone. We're not even talking about the rest. And a total of, like I mentioned, 6.8 million Afghan deaths from violence and from war-imposed deprivation. And if you compare to the 3,452 US soldiers killed in Afghanistan, what's the kill ratio? It's 1,970 to 1. 1,970 civilians are slaughtered for every one American soldier that's killed. That is the reprisal ratio. So who's the real monster? Who are the real evil empire? The Nazis? Adolf Hitler, in fact, has a halo and wings compared to these cretins. So this is almost 200 times greater than that Nazi mass murderer, Adolf Hitler. They are 200 times more the demon. They are 200 times more a threat to the civilized world than the Nazis were at their worst. And it gets worse. If you get the post 9/11 Muslim death toll, which is 32 million, for the 3,000 supposedly killed by Muslims in New York on 9/11, the kill ratio is 10,667. That is 1,067 greater than the reprisal ratio ordered by Adolf Hitler. 1,067 more a demon, more a Nazi maniac than Adolf Hitler himself. That is our Scott Morrison and our John Howard. In other words, the arch Western demon, Adolf Hitler, proves more benign than the average American or average Australian, because the Australian public support this. How many of them have spoken out against this? We are living amongst the Nazis. Inshallah, we'll continue with this later. These points can easily be accessed online. This is open source information. Anyone can access it. I strongly suggest that you share this type of information with your Australian compatriots and rip the mask off their demonic faces. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.